This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm very excited today to be joined by Tracy Anderson. Tracy is the president of MedStar Health Home Care and a brilliant leader. Tracy, we're going to talk about trends in home health and a lot more today. Can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Hello. As you said, I'm Tracy Anderson, president of MedStar Health Home Care. I have been in the home health business for about 25 years, and I am a registered nurse by background, and beginning my 13th year here at MedStar Health.
And talk to us for a moment about what are the big trends in home health care? I mean, there's all this talk about hospitals at home, hospitals without walls, and I'm trying to square that with home health care and the big trends in home health care.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of things happening in healthcare, which are very impactful to the home health industry. I would say one trend that's not a new trend is really about recruitment and retaining staff. We are competing in a healthcare system today that is really, you know, stressed for clinicians. And so even though we are always in competition with healthcare in general and other home health industry companies, that is even more challenging now on the heels of the COVID pandemic. So unlike a hospital, the way I think about it really is we don't have a set number of beds. Theoretically, we could grow as much as we could staff the cases. So it's really important to be able to reach in and, you know, reach new clinicians, young clinicians, as well as your seasoned, more seasoned clinicians that are out there in the workforce. And I think a lot of clinicians really don't have a lot of knowledge about what home health is. And there's introducing them into this world is really important as we go. I think another really, you know, tough trend for the home health industry is just all the regulatory requirements and changes. They bring a lot of challenges, and I don't think that's very necessarily different from other healthcare areas, but, you know, it is a different world. We're remote. We're out there meeting all these requirements, and the clinicians aren't in an office every day where you're talking with them necessarily. So it brings some unique, I believe, challenges to the world we live in home health. The other really big trend, which kind of leads you to the hospital at home environment that you mentioned, is that over the years, the acuity of the patients that we're treating at home, you know, they're much sicker patients, have higher clinical needs. So really being ready for that and being able to care for patients that even 5 years ago would still be in the hospital probably to receive their care. We're now doing that out in the home care world at people's homes.
One of the questions I have is really around, I want to come back to staffing shortages in a second, but this issue, efficiency. It seems like it's very efficient, maybe not good, but to stack a lot of patients together in one setting, like a hospital setting or a you know, a clinic setting or something, versus staff, scarce staff going out to all these different places. That stated in terms of just this core concept, it's more efficient to put lots of patients in one place, even though you get all the bricks and mortars cost, versus home health. But even notwithstanding that core concept, home health is growing again in leaps and bounds in popularity. Is that because people don't want to be in hospitals because of COVID? Is it because it just is people want to be cared for in home? What's driving this great renewed resurgence in home health? Is it COVID or is it a lot of different things?
Well, I think it's a lot of different things. And certainly COVID has added to that. Also, you know, providers are wanting with COVID to keep their patients home and not have to bring them into offices or hospitals. But outside of COVID, I think the world of healthcare for quite some time has, you know, been saying that the walls outside of the hospital are becoming and going to become where the largest part of healthcare is delivered. And I think that patients wanting to be in their homes, patients wanting to either, you know, perhaps care for family members in their home rather than in an assisted living environment or a nursing home environment. Over time, that has really become the trend. And I think COVID is really probably even driving that further. As you know, unfortunately, the difficulties that nursing homes and skilled nursing facilities have had with this disease, you know, certainly I think we're going to see an even bigger shift in the market, that people are going to be wanting to be home successfully.
Thank you. And Tracy, and I know that this is the case, because I see my parents would like to be at home for as long as they possibly can, as far to the future as possible. I think that's a lot the same with a lot of people. Talk for a moment about your career. You're having this remarkable career. Talk a little bit about your journey and leadership and so forth.
Sure. Well, you know, I feel very fortunate that I've been able to have a career for really over the last 30 years that has been doing something I love. And I think that if you can say that, you can look back and really be happy with yourself. I've had a lot of great opportunities. I actually began my career in the banking industry before I became a nurse. And then I decided I really knew that's what I wanted. So I went back and did it. And what ultimately I've done over the years, I did work in critical care for a few years. So I learned a lot about the hospital world. Then I got into the home health industry, and really from the ground up, I was a field nurse, and over the years just somehow made my way into the management of a home health. And I've really been doing that for over 20 years. And the things I've learned about being a leader, I think have just been foundational in where I am in my career. And I would say, you know, there's a lot of things I've learned, but really the thing that I believe has been the most impactful to me is understanding about being a genuine leader and not being afraid to show emotion and really being able to put yourself in the shoes of your workforce and your employees. To me, though, that's probably the most important things I've learned as a leader.
And talk about that a little bit further, just to put a finer point on it. What piece of advice, what two or three pieces of advice would you give to emerging leaders?
Well, I would certainly say you have to learn to be very agile and nimble. You know, not only from a business perspective, but really whatever's coming at you. So I like to say that no is not in my vocabulary or my team's vocabulary. So, you know, build a foundation that you can really use as a springboard for new opportunities and be able to pivot. Healthcare has a lot of pivots you have to do, and we've certainly lived through many of them. And I like to say that COVID has been a great example of that. So, you know, be nimble, be willing to meet those opportunities head on and be able to adapt to what they need you to be. I think respecting your employees' needs is just a huge part of what I do as a leader and have learned to do over the years. Life balance, you know, remote workforce, be creative. How can you have it all? I feel like I've been given opportunities to have it all in my career, and I want to give that back. And so I feel like, you know, that's a big part of what I do.
And talk about, you've had this career journey that's taken you from being a Texan to being a Marylander. Have you changed your allegiance to sports teams, or are you able to keep them the same as you've evolved your career?
Well, I still say go Cowboys, even though it's not all that popular.
It's a tough year to be a Cowboy fan, isn't it? It really is.
It is a tough year. It's a little tough.
Yes. It's a talk for a moment about, Tracy, your top priorities the next 6 to 12 months. Does so much of that revolve around keeping your staff engaged, keeping your staff happy, keeping them resilient? What are the top priorities currently?
Absolutely. You know, keeping, I would say, you know, our most important asset is our staff, our workforce, and really keeping them engaged is key. I think that a couple of things, you know, we use to do that, and we've done it well, in my opinion, is really a strong communication platform that really sees the workforce and sees that communication through it, their eyes. And that really comes from having a completely remote workforce. All 650 of my employees are primarily remote, and 400 of those are clinicians out in the field every day. So how do you do that? So that's key. And so that is a continued need and priority for us today, really expanding our reach and the services that we can offer to our patients and communities is just always top of mind. And really, how can we fit in and support our health system, MedStar Health, you know, to help them avoid ED visits, hospitalizations, reduce the days of patients in a facility. So all of those things, especially coming from a home health that is part of a big health system, they are not all part of a health system, of course. But for us, those are real key things. And, you know, just keep developing and training staff to do more things in the home. You know, we're looking at diagnostics and, you know, testing as well as care that we're providing.
When you think about organizing 650 staff members and a lot of that being done remotely, do you ever think that you've ended up, and aside from the juggling business, but in the logistics business?
Oh, yes,
trying to figure out where which person goes at what time, which patient, all those things. I mean, it must be a tremendous amount of effort to keep that all straight and moving in the right direction.
It is a lot of effort, and I will say I equate it somewhat to what we really need and most of us don't have is kind of working like how a, you know, a FedEx or a UPS works, right? You have a lot of packages to deliver, and you have to figure out the smartest way to do it. We do that without that type of software support and hardwired support. But I would say we do 7,000 visits a week. Skilled visits and about 350,000 a year. And somehow we do call ourselves jugglers. So I think it's really funny that you use that word. There is some juggling every single day because we have a lot of priority type visits that come in and we have to shift things around a little bit to be able to do that. But yes, we have to consider all sorts of things, you know, where the patient lives, where the clinician lives, what's the smartest route, and what are the needs you're delivering out there? So all of those things come into play when you're putting a schedule together for our world in home care.
Thank you very much. Tracy, it's a pleasure visiting with you. What a remarkable career. And you must be so busy at this point in time with the amount of the explosion of home health and what an important role you have in leading MedStar Health home care.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk about what we do out there. And, you know, I just feel very fortunate to be able to maybe help make someone's life better and them to be able to stay in their home longer.
Thank you very much.